This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And here we go. First day of May. We are into spring and starting to get closer to summer, and obviously with the conditions you've been hearing about, it's National Wildfire Awareness Month. A lot going on with weather and the fire danger, and so Rachel Pope ready to go. We bring you the first edition of the periodic Rachel Pope Show. Heading into the fire season, which is probably not as far away as you might wish.
Unfortunately, we're predicting that we might go into fire season as early as this month.
Wow. Now, is that, how unusual is that?
For the past 5 years, we've been going into fire season in June. So to go into fire season in May is a little preemptive, but looking like what you mentioned at the record-breaking temperatures, the little to no precipitation and little snowpack, those are all contributing factors to the probability of us going into fire season a little bit early.
And as we've talked about in other segments, we've got the, not just the Umpqua Valley, we've really got the whole Pacific Northwest region. Record or near record low snowpack, record or near record high temperatures and lack of moisture. And I mean, all those factors really. And we got the county with the drought declaration that's headed to the governor's office.
Yeah, those are all impacts that we're going to see on our fuels and the fuel moisture that's located in the trees, the brush, the grass, just contributing to susceptible ignition all around us. So it's really important. And thank you for having me be here to promote fire prevention.
And Wildfire Awareness Month. And when you talk about wildfire, why don't you define what we're talking versus maybe some ideas that people have that aren't right?
Wildfires is grass, trees, shrubs, brush, vegetation that catches on fire. Anything that's structural, whether it's a house, a business, or a car, is then deemed structural fire.
Now, talk about the whole area, and some people are going to think this is early to be thinking about it, but whole area of defensible space and things like that.
Yeah, so now it's important while we're in May, while the weather is better, it's the little rain that we've had has limited, it's sunny outside, to get out there and get that defensible space around your home. Creating defensible space gives a higher probability for firefighters to get in there and help protect your home, ensuring that the entryways and exitways into your homes are cleared so emergency vehicles can access that space also is a priority. Clearing out that vegetation around your home that could catch fire from nearby embers or igniting to fuel a fire and is important.
You know, one of the things too, people hear that and they think about big areas, you know, somebody that's got a, you know, 100-acre property or whatever, but really some of the principles, though DFPA will not be getting involved, but some of the principles really apply even if you've just got your typical 70 by 100 foot lot in Hewcrest.
We, instead of it being overwhelming and focusing all of, on your entire property, we emphasize focusing on that 0 to 5 feet, which is in your immediate home ignition zone, and then going out to 20 feet around your house. Your structure, your home, is what's priority. And so clearing that vegetation in those areas can limit the spread and that contributing fuel to that wildfire that's might be in the area or the embers that are in the air.
So what do people need to know about fire season as we get ready for it?
It's really important for everybody to be aware of what the public use restrictions are. For the Douglas District, we protect 1.6 million acres, and which includes ONC lands, BLM lands, and also tribal lands. And so you can access our public use restrictions on dfpa.net. But as soon as you get into the forested National Forest area and the Umpqua National Forest, even in the Tiller area or going down into the Rogue, that's going to be under the United States Forest Service protection. So they might have different fire danger levels and public use restrictions that are associated with that. even if you're traveling along the Five Corridor and going in the northern part of Oregon or down into California, it's important to know before you go and what those restrictions are in place and what the fire danger level is in the area. Vehicle-caused fires are number one for the district during fire season, and that contributes to vehicles not being maintained, from brakes being worn and those pads causing a spark. And so it's just really important for humans to know the causes of fire and how they can help prevent those.
Well, and you know that, I mean, I remember this, and I know I've talked about this before, but probably just over a decade ago, I was at a public event early one evening, and I noticed a number of other people kind of sneaking out, and I thought something was going on somewhere, and I went out and double checked some things. And a vehicle that had a something with the muffler or something like that was starting periodic fires, and it actually did that for like 15 miles before they finally got the driver stopped, who had no clue what was going on.
That's why it's important to maintain your exhaust system. Worn catalytic converters and other exhaust parts can cast hot carbon particles into the dry roadside vegetation. So if we know that there's been a lack of rain and precipitation, there's no relative humidity, no snowpack, that means the vegetation around the roadways are going to be dry and susceptible to any type of heat causing a fire.
Now, you've got some upcoming sort of prevention-related events you wanted to mention, right?
Yes, we're pretty busy this fire prevention month of May. Tomorrow, Saturday, May 2nd, we will be at the Master Gardeners Fair. That's going to be at the Douglas County Fairgrounds, and we'll be live and in person. If you have any fire prevention information that you would like to discuss, if you need clarity on what our restrictions are, if you would like a new copy of the 2026 public use restrictions as well, we'll have a lot of information there at that booth. And then May 6th, we are participating with the Douglas Public Health Network, Douglas County Emergency Management, Oregon State University Extension Office, and the Douglas County Sheriff's Office in a virtual wildfire safety event that will be from 12 to 1:30. And that evening from 5:30 to 7:30, I will be attending the Pacific Power Open House that will also be at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. May 7th, we're taking information down to the South County and providing wildfire prevention information at the Canyonville Library. That will include myself with DFPA and the Douglas County Emergency Management Team. And May 23rd, we'll have the Wildfire Preparedness Event with Looking Glass at the Looking Glass Range.
Now, I imagine that you guys are getting closer, maybe you've already started the hiring process for bringing in your summer staff.
As soon as February hit, we opened up for application process for the 2026 fire season. We've already started conducting interviews within headquarters and our other units. And we will be accepting applications up until June for the 2026 fire season. So if you are interested in coming and working for us at DFPA, whether that's a wildland firefighter position within our detection area or with dispatch, visit dfpa.net and check out that career tab.
What's the sort of the age range of people that you tend to hire?
In order to work for DFPA, because we're in wildland fire, you have to be a minimum age of 18. So we ask that individuals that are going to apply to come work for us be 18 by July 1st.
Now, I imagine you've got a pretty rigorous training program.
We do. So the first week that we onboard the selected wildland firefighters, we provide in the office training, administrative training, we conduct red card training, and everything needed for a basic wildland firefighter. And we end that week with in the field live burn training, where individuals learn how to run a pump, where they can learn some trail tactics and mop up operations, and most importantly, safety procedures.
And I know that you have some people that take on this as a summer job for a long time.
Yeah, we have had individuals that come to work for DFPA during the summer and then really excelled and loved being in the wildland fire career path and have had stayed for 45 years.
Wow.
Yeah, they make a career. And, you know, not a lot of individuals know that wildland firefighting position is just entry into the wildland industry. There's so many other positions that are available, like fire finance, accounting, administration. As we mentioned, dispatch is a huge career opportunity for folks that then evolve and individuals move over to different federal agencies or move out of the state and then run programs for them as well.
All right, we're going to talk more about all these topics related to Wildfire Awareness Month and the coming fire season. As we continue on Inside Douglas County, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson. Coming up this afternoon, we're going to talk with Dan Van Slyke, Executive Director of Wildlife Safari, on Inside Douglas County on Monday. Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association. This is periodically known as the Rachel Pope Show. And sometime I'm going to just leave.
I think we need a jingle jangle every time I'm here or something.
We'll get the voice people, the guy in Florida who does all this stuff. We'll see if we can, we can put together my spare time if I ever get spare time, which doesn't appear imminent. But let's talk about the fire situation, because this really, I mean, this has got the potential to be a historically tough year.
It has the potential. The writing's on the wall. But however, you know, we can never predict what's going to happen. Maybe we'll have some precipitation that comes into the forecast in June and July and can help alleviate some of that fuel moisture. You know, I'm not here to fearmonger or scare everybody. I just want everybody to know what the facts are and what we're looking at, what the weather is looking like, how dry it is, and the no snow that we received. And this is the data that we're reviewing when determining our preparation for fire season.
So how many people do you add into your staff for the summer firefighting effort?
Outside of fire season, we normally run from 45 to 60. When we go into fire season, we are robust at 120 folks.
Wow. So a big shift there. And people may not know, a lot of people do that have lived here a long time, but explain how you're funded.
So there's three tiers to funding DFPA. We are paid for protection dues for individuals that are within our area and that meet a certain requirement of land, whether that's grazing or timberlands. And then there's a certain amount that you pay for our protection. And then another form of funding is through grant funding that we apply for. And that's what we use to continue our employment of firefighters outside of fire season that are off the operational budget. And that's when we're able to go perform defensible space and provide fuel mitigation work. And the last grants that we worked through were OSFM funded grants that were geared towards providing defensible space for individuals that were elderly or disabled. And also with Title III funding that we were able to utilize through the county. And we worked on homes within the FireWise communities.
And talk about that whole FireWise program.
A FireWise program is a nationally recognized program where homes, a minimum of 8 homes within the same area of each other. It's kind of like a neighborhood watch kind of program of individuals that realize that wildfire is a risk to the area and that they want to perform landscaping, mowing their lawn, cleaning out the gutters, and keeping everybody in line with ensuring that that defensible space is conducted. And they report that information into this national database, which is at firewise.org. And they're certified annually and recognized as a FireWise community. What does that mean to firefighters? Firefighters look at those FireWise communities and know that they've been doing their due diligence and providing that defensible space in that area, and the probability of putting resources in that area to assist with wildfire suppression and that defensibility of those homes is higher. And so it's just increasing that probability.
Well, I know we've had some incidents over the years where, you know, a fire takes off, it heads a particular area. And I've had DFPA folks talk about the fact that either the fire got worse because that area really hadn't been, you know, any FireWise situation. And this is for something that's, you know, closer in. And there's also been times where a community, a big, you know, group of landowners have done all of this stuff and they still have a fire to deal with, but they come out of it a lot better.
looking at 2024 and the fires that happened in the Tiller area, specifically the Dixon Fire, a lot of folks out there are super active with creating defensible space. They actually have dozers and heavy equipment. They know how to put in trails. Because of that work and the prolonged money that's been invested in that area, the intensity of that fire and the amount of damage that could have occurred didn't. And that's like a prime example of why it's important to have defensible space. It's also in a time of emergency, you are in a community that you have contact information with, you know, maybe somebody's living situation, if they are elderly and disabled and might not have the ability to either perform defensible space on their homes or the ability to even evacuate if an emergency should occur. So those are some other highlights of being in a FireWise community, is having that network of individuals to rely on and that know your situation.
And when some of these incidents get going, sometimes they really take off quickly. You end up getting the sheriff's office involved and different restrictions, evacuation levels, all that comes into place too.
Yes, unfortunately, sometimes fires can move in the direction and threaten homes. And when that happens, we work in coordination with DCSO, or Douglas County Sheriff's Office, specifically Brad O'Dell, which hopefully everybody is aware of and follows the DCSO Facebook, because he will announce evacuations live. Also, there'll be emergency alerts that will go out. You could visit DCSO as well and sign up for those emergency evacuation alerts that can go directly to your email, even your landline or your cell phone. And you can select if you want an email alert, a text message alert, or a phone call, or all of the above. It's important not just to only be prepared in what you can do to prevent human-caused fires. It's also important to be prepared if an evacuation is needed and can occur. It's important to know what that ready, set, go levels are for the state of Oregon, and to identify different evacuation areas and have evacuation go bags prepared.
And just when we get into fire season, or if there's a fire a few miles away, is actually just be paying attention. We've had other situations. I can think of the floods last year where people, folks from the sheriff's office would show up to help somebody who didn't yet know they needed help because they hadn't opened the drapes.
Yeah, it's important, especially now that the News Review has gone out of printed material. For those that have relied on that printed material for information about what's going on, it's important to have a connection with the emergency resources and emergency agencies and have a Facebook account or somebody that has access to Facebook account, because that seems to be the quickest way that we can relay information to a large amount of folks. And sign up for those emergency alerts and be aware of what's happening, or be in contact with a son or daughter that knows your situation, that can reach out to you and contact you and let you know what's happening, or be in contact with your neighbors and continue to look out for each other.
Now, and of course, we're going to continue to have the information on the radio, on our social media as well, and the News Review website. We'll be doing that too. Now, what about when we got a couple minutes left, Rachel Pope at the Douglas Forest Protective Association. When we get into fire season, public use restrictions, what are some of the things people need to know then?
When we go into fire season, as soon as that is initiated, there is absolutely no debris burning allowed. That's the number one restriction that I like to remind everybody about, and that fireworks are not allowed, or the use of tracer ammunition. And campfires are only allowed in designated sites, and vehicles are restricted to improved roads. And that's because of that dry vegetation and the probability of the heat from a vehicle's muffler causing fire. And equipment use is also limited by fire danger levels. So equipment use in mowing your lawn, if your grass is dry, then there's going to be time regulations to that. And if your grass is irrigated and green, you could go ahead and mow that at any time. And there's also power chainsaw use regulations that fall within the different fire danger levels at the safest times that you could actually use them and operate. So it's important to know what those public use restrictions are.
And when we get into these fires, you guys have quite a system of getting help when you need it from other places.
We all work in conjunction with each other. Throughout the winter, we have sent our own firefighters over to North Carolina. We have some folks in Georgia right now, and we sent somebody to New Mexico. And so there's state agreements that are in place nationally that we send our firefighters to go, not only to help individuals there with those fires that are occurring and to but also to gain knowledge and to bring that knowledge back into the level of protection that they're going to be able to provide Douglas County.
All right, we're about ready to wrap up. If people want to get ready for this, talk about what's available on your website to check out.
Go ahead and check out dfpa.net or follow us on Facebook at Douglas Forest Protective Association or on Instagram at DouglasFPA. There you'll be able to find when we announce fire season and what those public use restrictions are going to be and what the fire danger levels are.
And, of course, when we get to that point, you'll be back in here to explain what's going on at that point.
I expect my own parking spot in that jingle jangle.
Yeah, we'll see what we could do about that. I have a feeling we'll be seeing you sooner rather than later.
I would rather not, because that means I have a lot of information to release, but I always appreciate your support in helping us get that message out to the community, Kyle.
Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.